The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we're little boys lost in a game of men. This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological Simpsons podcast. I'm your host, as always, Bob Mackie. Who else is here today?
Wow, Bob Mackie!
Oh my god, how many Milhouses are
double
here?
Double time.
I'm surrounded by Milhouses.
I just hit it once. I'm so sorry.
I like it.
I'm on the sound effects this week. Sorry.
It's going to be fine, Hank.
Hey, it's Henry, Lock of the Week, Gilbert,
and Christopher... Superb Owl Antista.
Superb Owl. I like that pun. Yeah. I like the pun. And today's episode is Lisa the Greek, which aired on January 23rd, 1992. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in history?
Oh, glory be to Jeebus, Bobby. AT&T sets up a 1-900 number for the Pope. The Redskins defeat the Buffalo Bills in the Superb Owl. And in a 60 Minutes interview, Governor Bill Clinton states that allegations of his sexual infidelity are not relevant to his presidential campaign.
So was AT&T trying to set up like a high-tech form of indulgences? Like, I've sinned. If you want to pay this off, it's 99 cents a minute. You know?
Wow. I'm surprised they plugged into that,
Thank
though.
You
they,
for calling
your
the blessing
of murder.
Well, it's funny to think all these years later we're still talking about Clinton and saying what isn't involved in a campaign or not.
I forget that he had that reputation before he definitely did something.
I mean, that's what made Jennifer Flowers famous in 1992, man.
Even remember that name anymore. I'm losing it.
I literally only remember her because she was at WrestleMania 14, got interviewed by The Rock. It was a dark time. That was the best celebrity they could get at that WrestleMania.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that is amazing.
Mike Tyson was there. That wasn't the best. Okay. He was the best celebrity.
Did he wrestle or was he just
No, he was fresh off of biting Evander Holyfield's ear and not being allowed to box or do anything.
I'm surprised he wasn't in like the WCW or something like that.
Nah, WWF paid big money. Look, this is in the wrestling podcast.
Man,
this
I'm sorry I got you off on the wrong track.
But today's, this is a jocular episode.
Today's episode is about football, and it's funny how much I love this episode when I give not a shit about sports in any way. It's cool if you like them. I never watched them growing up. I would much rather watch cartoons or play video games, but this episode is all about sports and gambling, too. I mean, if you listen to the commentaries, you know this episode is about the writers' gambling problem because they all had a football pool in their office.
It's real specific.
And it consumes so much of their lives betting on football.
Sports bet specifically. They all have, but football, and they talk about how, like, even these writers who have left the show years ago, they still are part of the pool every year of
That's
gambling on it.
Somehow legal, and they're okay to talk about it.
And that, my favorite bit.
By the way, the show's brought to you by FanDuel. I'm just kidding. No, that's not
happening. Are they like in Jamaica now?
I'd say not on this show, but they just haven't offered us.
On the commentary, I really associated with Mike Reese on there because he was just like, you guys and your thing, I never played it. I didn't care. You all thought it was great. You all thought you made a good plan. You'd have done the same with just random numbers. You didn't figure anything out.
I was surprised there. Like, my stepdad was part of one of these, and I remember him taking him all these Xerox papers with all these like check boxes and numbers and squares. And like one year, I'm like, where's the betting stuff? He's like, oh yeah, the guy got arrested. We're not doing that anymore.
Wow.
And it's like, that's okay. I guess it's really illegal.
Well, so you know, I talk about this all the time about how it relates to my childhood, but my dad loves gambling. That's the only reason he watches anything. He doesn't watch football because he likes the game of football.
As Homer says, gambling makes a good thing even better.
Yeah. Well, but for him, it's like he would never watch a horses racing unless you could gamble on it. He would never care about things other than for the point of making money off of it or betting or risking money on it. It's not about getting rich.
What the formula is for sports being interesting other than gambling and having a personal stake in it.
Well, and that's something early on that, you know, I guess Mo can take bets on whatever he wants, but you don't really get much in sports betting of just saying this team will be that team because sometimes that's really obvious. You have to say they'll beat them by these many points.
Yeah, I didn't. That was lost on me, like what the spread is.
The over under.
The meaningless field goal they mentioned.
That is George Meyer talks about it on the commentary of just like, that's the most beautiful thing when somebody kicks a field goal for no good reason, but it makes the point, it gets it within like within 6 points is what you needed. That it can't be a total blowout, or you would have bet on that.
Yeah.
I think that's why the writers really identified with Lisa in this too, because she is a nerd learning about sports, but through being a nerdo.
And she appreciates and learns more about football than Homer ever would in his life.
Yes, I know. And that's what makes her better. Homer just watches TV and finds out.
I have a friend, like an engineering genius, and we took him to Tahoe, and just within like 2 hours, he's like, I know how to play blackjack. And just taught us all the tricks and craps.
So this is also where a behind the scenes thing, this was their, they would later do another Super Bowl episode that was a proper,
that's why I thought this was intriguing, because I guess we'll get to that eventually, that this was mirroring what was happening then.
Yeah, so this was just scheduled around their Super Bowl, and they aired it, and Lisa picks one team to win to prove Dad loves them, and she loves her father. The winner won. She picks the winner in this one, and I remember watching it each year. They were dubbed in new teams for the two teams every year.
Did
for
they
three
really?
Years in a row, and in each one, Lisa guessed the right one.
Wow.
She guessed the right one.
The funny thing is, in this episode about football, we don't see a second of football being played.
Yeah.
Everything is shots of people watching and reacting to football, and there are parodies of the things that happen within a football game, but the teams
somebody saying, oh, doctor?
Yes, exactly. It's Harry Shearer doing Keith Jackson.
But yeah, they talk about it on the commentary about how Al Jean bet against Lisa and all those things, and he lost. He's like, why didn't I listen to Lisa? She gets it
so
right.
It wasn't a thing of like them waiting to like the wire doing two different teams and dubbing the right one in.
I mean, you can dub them in as soon as the
last 2 weeks.
Just
knowing that the Bills were going to lose.
Well, by the way, let me tell you guys, watch the ESPN 30 for 30, The Four Falls of Buffalo, because it is about their record four Super Bowl losses.
Does that coincide with this?
This was one of their first.
Yeah.
And it's all about how it's about how they were one of the greatest teams of their generation, but they lost. Like
they got to the Super Bowl and lost
the Super Bowl four times.
To the point where it became obvious. Like everybody's like, the Bills, Jesus. Yeah. Like as if there's some shitty team.
Yeah. One that Bills fans like the late host of the Meet the Press, the Sunday morning chat show.
I forget his name. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was looking at Bob for it, but he was a. He was a huge
Chris
Bills
Matthews.
Fan.
Chris Matthews.
No.
That's what I was going to say, too.
He's
Tim
dead
Russell.
Now. Tim Russell.
That's right. Yeah.
He died without seeing him win, and he, like, constantly, like, they have these clips of him saying, like, God is just, and he will let me see them win. They will win.
Aww.
And it's a great point about how, like, the
Turns out God didn't exist, and it didn't matter.
that the fans were, like,
that's Nietzsche's quote on football.
The fans were hating on them, were hating on the Bills for breaking their hearts so many times, but they've now seen in the years since then where the Bills haven't even gotten into the playoffs some years that, you know, it was kind of nice having the second best team every year instead of a team that didn't win, that never even gets the big game.
Yeah.
But anyway, so if you want to learn about this era of football, The Four Falls of Buffalo is a great doc. I believe it's on Netflix. That's where I watched it. But I guess it's from the beginning.
One last thing I noticed. I'm sorry, this is such a long preamble, but the one time the team names actually appear on the screen, they're superimposed. They're not part of the animation. So that's one more modular part of this episode they can change.
I really thought that's how they were operating.
Yeah.
Because I do remember watching it with my dad and like, are they going to get this right?
But so that opening thing, the opening fake polygons, I love that. Like the drawings of the spike. I think I missed that when I recorded it off TV, so I hadn't seen it in a long time.
And I found out this is one of the so lost to time parodies on this show. It's actually a parody of the opening of the NFL Today, a CBS morning show.
Wow.
And their parody is called Inside Football Today. And Smooth Jimmy Apollo is a parody of Jimmy the Greek, which this episode is named after.
Yes.
And he was an old-timey sports commentator, gambling man, and was eventually fired for saying not so nice things about black athletes.
You know, I could jump all over Henry for like the sports documentary stuff, but I disappeared. Those ESPN documentaries are great. I love condensed drama of sports. I hate watching a game. I can't stand
the narrative of sports is the most interesting part.
Yeah, and there's villains, there's heroes. It's awesome. I cannot stand watching any kind of sport. But and Netflix automatically loaded a documentary on Jimmy the Greek.
Oh, right.
And he was just this long-standing figure, and the documentary is crazy because it's all about his history as this television personality, and they clearly can't afford any of the footage.
Yeah.
So lots of his commercials, because he was all over commercials as well.
Yeah.
And he picked Locks of the Week, and he just said some fairly very unfortunate things. I always wanted to play a clip of the of what he said, but it's offensive, but it's not untrue.
It's not a slur.
He wasn't saying something out of anger or mean.
It was like an old grandpa point of view.
A little bit, yeah. And I don't know how factually based it is. Just saying why black athletes are better than
white
athletes.
It's one of those things where it's like the person thinks it's a flattering stereotype, but you should also not sum up all of one group with a single descriptor.
If you're a public person on a television.
Yeah.
On public television.
Phil Hartman's underrated as Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Yes. That's why I like this episode.
I hereby declare Miami to be Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week.
Ooh, that's a big lock, all right. But I just don't trust that guy.
In the Cincinnati-Miami game, I declare Cincinnati to be my shoe-in of the week.
They both make a good case.
And Homer picks it based on that's how I would have done it as a kid.
I just remember in early in Simpsons nerddom before the internet, there was an official Simpsons book, and they listed Phil Hartman's voices, and I'm like, you forgot Smooth Jimmy Apollo, and Chris didn't. I'm better than the book.
did they have Homer's bookie in there as well?
Dude, they don't have half of them because next episode he's just on the radio.
Well, no, it's his broker, not his bookie.
Oh, his broker, right.
Yeah, his bookie is Mo.
That's right, yeah.
I think this is like the start of Mo does every sleazy thing in the town.
Everything that's sub-Fat Tony Mafia level.
Yeah,
various organizations operating out of Mo's Tavern.
And I noticed that Homer bet on the Denver Broncos, which he would end up owning eventually, given to him by Hank Scorpio. That shows you just how ridiculous the series gets.
How long it's been on.
But I did like the setup of the relationship with Lisa and Homer here.
All right, Denver, justify my love.
At the end of 13 seconds of play, it's New England 7, Denver nothing.
Look, Dad, I made a modest studio apartment for my Malibu Stacy doll. This is a kitchen. This is where she prints her weekly feminist newsletter. Dad, you're not listening to me.
Lousy, stupid Denver.
Now I've lived in a modest studio apartment for a while, so I never thought that when I was watching the show that I would live in such a modest studio apartment.
Is this the debut of Malibu Stacy? I think it is.
You know, I think you're
because
right.
Because she's all over the next few episodes, and I feel like they just stumbled up. I mean, it's not the most clever parody. It's a parody of Malibu Barbie, but it's like just the Simpsons version of Barbie, which would become a great episode later.
And it's a season 5-1. For plot purposes, she needs a certain thing for Homer to buy her accessories for. So they have to get specific about it. And I really like Marge's advice for hanging out with Homer, but it does leave me with a question I don't want the answer to.
Well, if you want to get closer to him, then maybe you should bridge the gap. I do it all the time. I pretend I'm interested in looking at power tools, going to those silly car chase movies, and some things I'll tell you about when you're older. Do you understand?
I think so.
Bart!
What?
So
fingers and butt. I know that's what you're talking
about. I was going to say butt stuff.
I guess butt stuff. Though I feel like in the more innocent early 90s, she could have just meant blowjobs.
Yeah.
Because
we've come.
What a kink.
If you listen to our classic podcast of the filthy Christmas songs, 90% of them were like, let's talk about the most dirtiest,
how ribald it is
possible.
Nothing's more hardcore.
Turns out,
half the world sucks dick. Relax.
Yeah. Oral is just the beginning of America. And I think we have Bill Clinton to thank.
We're learning a lot about the Simpsons kinks because in the Swear Jar episode, we learned that Marge likes dirty talk in bed.
Yeah, let's say that. Okay, but this Pete Rose parody is one of my all-time favorite moments in Simpsons
history.
I didn't realize
this.
Me neither.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah! Mm.
Well, you need to know the winners, and I know the winners, so call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coaches. Hot
line.
Yeah,
lay it on me, coach.
In the game of Miami versus
Cincinnati. Come on. Don't you realize this is costing me money?
We must consider many things. The wind.
Not the wind.
Is blowing out of the west.
Oh.
At 5 miles
per hour.
Nice.
Yes. Oh, ridiculous.
I love that. Would a modern episode sit with that joke for an entire minute just to let that joke breathe?
Actually seems a little more Family Guy now that I think about it.
Really?
They'll let a joke breathe for as long as they have to.
But I think the joke there is that there wouldn't be anything funny happening.
Well, it's that I only attribute it to Family Guy where the jokes, are they still doing this? This isn't funny anymore. Oh, it's come around and it's funny again. And then they keep going.
I call that a Pete Rose parody because that was a, even though it's a football episode, mm-hmm. the guy who's telling you to gamble is in a baseball uniform in the locker rooms. And this was right around when Pete Rose had been thrown mm-hmm. out of baseball for gambling on games.
And did he bet against his own team or something?
That was the thing that put it over the line for him. But you can't bet on games either way. But right. you can't betting on your own team.
I'm betting against laser
worse.
Time. Shouldn't
but, what are the odds?
And so this was just a parody of like, assuming he never did it. He always distance himself from that, but this is imagines a world where Pete Rose was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just bet on, I'll be the gambling guy, I'll sell myself on that.
But he was never allowed in the Hall of Fame because of that, right?
Yeah, and
I thought so.
Might never be.
I hope they're like listening, the sports fans squirming as they listen, like, Bob wasn't sure of that.
But so I also did like the quick, it's not even a B story, it's more just like a side thing of Bart going clothes shopping with Marge, and it definitely, I was 9 at the time, and that was exactly my feeling on clothes shopping. Like, this is the worst. I don't want to try on anything. Please don't take me here.
I still feel like that.
Yeah,
like, there's a shirt. There's some pants. Get out.
No, I do not try on clothes. Yeah. I come home, put them on. Well, that didn't fit. It's going back to the store.
Yeah, the idea of trying something on is like, oh my God. This cannot happen.
I will not go into a dressing room unless it's for illicit sex.
And I love this line from Marge.
Ooh, and this one's 50% off.
You know why these clothes are on sale, Mom? Because the people who wear them get beaten up.
Well, anyone who beats you up for wearing a shirt isn't your friend.
Yeah, I felt that
That's
way with
my...
a
cute Marge joke.
Yeah, I felt that way with my parents, though. Like, you know, they're not my friends. That's why they're beating me up. That's
Thank God women
me.
Are getting bullied now in school, so they know Fines. Exactly what that means.
Finally, they can get bullied.
Yes.
But, so yeah, then... I guess Lisa helps Homer gamble, and that's when, without realizing it, and that's when Homer explains why gambling is so great.
You see, Lisa, Daddy's friend Mo promised to give him $50 if the Dolphins won the game.
You mean you made a bet?
Well, I wouldn't call it a bet. It's a little thing Daddy's do to make football more exciting.
What could be more exciting than the savage ballet that is pro football?
Well, you know, you like ice cream, don't you?
Uh-huh.
And don't you like ice cream better when it's covered with hot fudge and mounds of whipped cream and chopped nuts and, ooh, those crumbled up cookie things they mash up? Crumbled up cookie things.
So gambling makes a good thing even better.
That's right! My God, it's like there's some kind of bond between us.
This episode I found a little bit dated in its morality, in that gambling is viewed as this like horrible sin, but mm-hmm. I feel like in our modern age, what is every free-to-play game if not implicitly a mini casino in your pocket, and every child plays them, you know? I feel like the treatment of gambling in this episode feels a little dated in terms of its morality.
I mean, it was also moving to California, and that like there's gambling on all sides of me.
Yeah,
like where we are in San Francisco.
I mean, there are indigenous peoples casinos everywhere.
Yeah,
like Tahoe, it's everywhere you turn
on the California border.
Yeah, and I'm going to Vegas next weekend just to gamble some more. Mm-hmm. And sorry, I had one other note about the Bart thing I wanted to mention. Now it seems really creepy that they would have cameras in a children's dressing room. Like, that seems very wrong now.
Yeah, I think that adds a new layer of subtext to the joke, but I don't know if they intended that from the beginning. Like, they're watching a little girl get dressed. It's like a level of security that is not necessary at all.
Yeah, that feels...
Get bent, Panopticon.
That feels more real now, how people are being stared at all the time by stuff.
But, maybe, but I swear to God... Show me footage from inside a woman's dressing room. Mm-hmm. Do nothing for me. Thank you, Internet.
And now cops will shoot you inside of a store. So welcome to the future.
Jeez. But Homer is now winning big time thanks to Lisa.
Here you go, Homer. $135.
I used to hate the smell of your sweaty feet. Now it's the smell of victory.
Oh, shut up.
I like that he just rejects his cleverness. He's like, no, this isn't funny. I wish he had his cowboy boots on all the time. I really like those cowboy boots.
That's true. We never see those again. They're such a great prop for Mo.
And then he has two guns in it, like two Saturday Night Specials in his boot.
I don't think we ever really see Mo's feet. I don't know if he's always wearing the boots. I mean, he's always behind a bar.
Yeah, he must have had his shoes off in bed. Like, when he has the... I don't love the Funzo episode, but when he is trying to kill himself with no funeral,
that's a great joke.
Back, his feet are definitely in the shot there.
So he's like not Johnny Eck. We've established this.
Joke has Dana Goldberg all over it.
I never got into football, though, even with, like, I could gamble on it now if I wanted to.
No, I think being able to confront how ADHD I am, there are too many fucking breaks in football. And the ball was almost thrown back to the Budweiser commercial break. Yes. Like, how did you plan this?
That's one of the reasons I found sports unbearable on television as a kid. Like, you see no sports, it's mostly ads. It's
I played a lot of soccer, and I like watching soccer, and, like, America hates soccer. I'm like, no. ESPN and advertisers hate soccer because you can't interrupt it every 4 seconds. Yeah,
exactly.
Ever.
Yeah, it was a shock to me of like, wait, it's just 45 minutes straight?
Yeah.
You can't, because they refuse. I do love that. That they refuse to change the rules to fit around commercials.
And the sports that dominate American airwaves have made those concessions.
Yes. Corporations always win. That's the point. There.
Oh, no, I mean, there's tons of like awful, disgusting ads behind the soccer players on the field. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. FIFA's awful.
And I'm sure there were tons of like sports jokes in here that I just kind of missed about just like, yeah, the Denver does this. And it
that would have been a great time to say now a word from our sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Now a word from our sponsor.
The Simpsons will be right back.
You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. But my dad, he's the oldest in the family, so he's been taking care of all this stuff. So he's been taking care of his parents, and once one of them dies, he has the misfortune of going through the fucking old Rolodex of all the old WAPs. And giving them a call and telling them that, you know, one of your relatives you haven't spoken to in 30 years is gone. You wouldn't believe this. I called Aunt Mary. Like, I've never met Aunt Mary. It's one of your grandmother's sisters. She has, like, 8. And I called her, and she's like, oh, Jimmy, you remembered my birthday. I'm like, no. He's like, so I played along for as long as I could. Yeah, but happy birthday. But seriously, your sister's dead. And I feel terrible about that. What am I supposed to do? Not tell her?
No.
Like, I tell you what you do, because she really was excited you remembered her birthday. You owe her a call next year on her birthday. And you tell her, because I bummed you out last year.
If she can make it to her
next
birthday,
I brought your sister back.
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
All right, so this wasn't a first appearance, even though the Wikipedia says it is. This was the first time, not in a Halloween episode, they go to the Gilded Truffle.
It
is the first time they do it outside.
It'll be referenced in the next few episodes. All right.
But here's the Gilded Truffle and a reference to Lisa's favorite song, which I don't think has ever been referenced again.
Would you care to select the wine?
I'll do the honors. No, 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 no. My God, what passes for a wineless these days? Marco, just bring us your freshest bottle of wine. Chop, chop.
Charming lad.
Oh, violin guy.
Violin guy.
What's your favorite song, Lisa?
The Broken Neck Blues.
Play on.
I do enjoy the Simpsons enjoying each other as a family. I mean, we should say Homer and now has a lot of money because of all the gambling he's doing, and he's treating his family to the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it is. I love seeing them laugh together at bad jokes, like Homer do a dad joke, and they're like, "Ha ha, you're funny, Dad."
Enjoy Ken Burns documentary music.
And instead of rolling their eyes at each other, that's what I like. That it's. I like when they have fun together, and I'm betting though,
you sound like Jim Henson. I like it when they have fun.
When they have fun. But I'm betting, though, Chris, this was your favorite part of the show as a kid.
Boy, I know you're going to like your present.
Shut up! Shut up! Kiss my butt! Shut up! Go to hell! Go to hell!
Dad, I promise you, I will never get tired of this.
Homer swung by Spencer's gifts on the way home.
I was never allowed to get stuff from Spencer's gifts. And I love the ones that someone had brought to school, that was like, kiss my ass, kiss, like just slightly dirty words, go to hell. But that was awesome seeing that on The Simpsons.
Whenever I would see those at stores, I would love pressing them at the store, but they're making a point there of like, you'd spend $8 on that and you'd be done in 3 hours.
I only get it now because like my girlfriend has a family friend who sent just that's what he shops and gets us. He gets this little thing, says, fart noise maker. Like, dude, I can make my own fart noises and it embarrasses me.
Yeah, I had an uncle that got me a CD of farts. I'm like, okay, what do I do with this now? I'm gonna sit down and listen to 20 minutes of farts.
Family come around the fire and enjoy a nice drink.
Like, we all had a nice laugh at this gift, but now I gotta put it to use.
After 45 seconds of fart noises, I'm done. I'm tapping out.
You know, that's when the height of everything is great, and also that's when he gives her the Meryl Streep's versatility, which I thought was a nice little joke.
So, I like it. Yeah.
But then
Marsh smells like Meryl Streep, Homer says.
Homer has to like say, oh, nothing will go wrong. And then obviously everything immediately goes wrong.
You know, Dad, we've been watching a lot of TV lately. Maybe the Sunday after the Super Bowl, we could hike up to the top of Mount Springfield. The fires in the tire yards really make for some beautiful sunsets.
Well, that sounds great, honey. But next Sunday, I'm going bowling with Barney.
What about Daddy-Daughter Day?
Don't worry. The new football season is only 7 months away.
So that's it. You just wanted me to help you gamble. You never wanted to be with me at all.
You're a very selfish man.
Go to hell. Go to hell.
Hey, once again, great present, Dad.
That's a great act break.
It's so great. And, I mean, that is... It is
I got a Hank Azaria cursing machine.
Go to hell.
But it is... That is such a harsh thing for Marge to say, but it's deserved because... He should realize how much that's going to hurt her feelings. That she thinks it's Daddy Daughter Day, and he's like, no, this is just about gambling. I'm going to hang out with my friends now. Like, you're
so 13 weeks a year.
Your job is done.
There's no better thing to call him than that. We did miss one important moment. It is the debut of actual Ralph Wiggum.
Oh,
when he's telling his story about having
what
worms.
Man can tame her.
Yeah, it's not the suave Ralph Wiggum that we saw before. It is like derpy, goofy Ralph Wiggum.
Yeah, well, it's the most I ever throw up was the story.
I like men now.
Yeah, which they need to key up this one because not too... Oh, wait, no, that's season 4 is the Valentine's Day episode,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So we've still got another year before that. But
this is the first true Ralph. He's what he is now.
And I did like Hoover's reaction to Lisa talking only in sports betting terms of just like the field goal to cover the spread.
It was weird how that scene ended with her just saying, dear God, like what happened to Lisa after that?
I know I mean, this was right after in I Married Marge, they ended a joke with dear God.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's
good
just,
Lord.
That's a punctuation they like on a joke. Oh, and I really did love Lisa's vision of her future self.
My third husband bought me this. Give me some chips for it.
Are you sure, ma'am?
Don't tell me what to do, Sonny. I've been gambling since I was 8, and I've been hawking jewelry since I was 12. Now give me some chips.
Further proof that Yeardley Smith cannot sound convincingly old, no matter how hard she tries.
I know, but it was at least nice for her to Yardley gets to act outside of her range.
This really makes me want to see a bad timeline Simpsons episode with gambling hag Lisa and stripper Bart living in like a box
more
together.
More me to love, baby. Yeah. That she is gambling at the same like club where Bart's stripping.
Yeah,
in the
that'd
room.
Be.
Tell me you saw the Overwatch parody with Six Gun Bart. Wonderful,
wonderful.
No. Yes.
Oh, Bang Bang Bart. Bang, yeah,
okay, that's my next spec script. I'm sending 20th Century Fox.
And then I think Homer really crosses the line of like, okay, he could be insensitive to Lisa then and be just stupid Homer who doesn't know. But him trying to trick her into telling him the winner, like, that's really bad.
Yes, I agree.
I'll tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl if you want me to, but it'll just validate my theory that you cared more about winning money than you did about me.
Okay.
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
However.
However? What however? What do you mean however? However what?
However, I may also be so clouded with rage that subconsciously I want you to lose. In which case, I'd bet the farm on Buffalo.
Lisa, do me a favor. Complete this sentence. Daddy should bet all his money on...
I don't know.
No.
If I still love you, Washington. If I don't, Buffalo.
Mm.
about steaks, man.
Yeah.
I thought...
Not if you know Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, in 91, it seemed like they were on their way to a dynasty, but...
And then Homer leaves Lisa to go watch the game at Moe's Bar. There's so much cruelty in everything he's doing.
Just abandons her, but where it's supposed to feel bad for him, like, oh, her saxophone makes me sad. Yeah. I should go. But that was, again, that episode aired days before the Super Bowl, and she gets right now. Yeah, it's a 50-50 chance, really, or it's just one team or the other. They don't... I mean, they say a score in this, and the score's not right, but it wasn't what the actual score was. But I think, you know, it's impressive that she got it right every year.
Yeah, I think this made me watch the Super Bowl. It was very confusing.
Yeah, well, this is when the episode really takes off for me, once the Super Bowl starts, because then they can get in every joke they have about what they hate about the Super Bowl, and it's a television viewing experience. The show that goes on all day, that it's constant, like the pre-show is 6 or 7 hours long, and I also have this clip here that I call the meanest thing you can do to Barney.
Yes.
Sorry, homie, you can't take any more of my money. I'm out of the bookie business.
But Mo, you've been taking bets all...
Hey, Barney, how about a free beer?
Wow!
Don't worry, Mo, I'm not betting.
What? Give me that.
Oh!
I love Barney's wow. I also like when he goes,
bread!
Yeah, every reaction to everything in the bar with Barney is great in this one scene.
Baloney!
Revisiting it, Barney always has a standout moment for me every time. Ow!
And he's even better in Homer Alone next week. So they just... This is when the episode really takes off. I love all the jokes about Super Bowl. In fact, there's a clip in here that we already used on a podcast this year.
What?
Because on 30-2010, we talked about the 1986 Super Bowl where the Bears won. And I feel that this is specifically about that because, first off, it had the premiere of an unsuccessful sitcom starring Adam West right afterwards. And so what do we have on this?
Or Phil Hartman.
We've got ourselves a special guest, actor Troy McClure, whose new sitcom is premiering tonight, coincidentally enough, right after the game.
Thanks, Brett. My new show is called Handle with Care. I play Jack Handle, a retired cop who shares an apartment with a retired criminal. We're the original odd couple.
What made you want to do a situation comedy?
Well, I fell in love with the script, Brett. And my recent trouble with the IRS sealed the deal.
Great, Troy.
I like the tiny bit of desperation in Sealed the Deal.
Sealed the Deal.
Now I mainly appreciate that pappy, awful response. I love the script. So everything you've done that sucked, you never read the script. And like it is something people used to say in like these cornball interviews.
And that is a very real reference to Al. Red Fox did his 80s sitcom because he had no money and he was constantly getting the tax stuff with the IRS. Like he owed tons of back taxes and had to do a terrible sitcom with Sinbad. It was Sinbad's television debut.
Oh, wow.
And also, in the 1986 Super Bowl we talked about in 30-2010, it had the awful, corny halftime show that is pretty much this halftime show.
People of Earth, we've come 10 billion light years to bring you this halftime message of peace.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock,
rock!
5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock,
rock!
9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock,
rock! We're gonna rock around the world tonight!
Oh, this sucks. Come on, snipers, where are you?
I love that joke. I also like the on-the-nose, here's the never-tedious halftime show.
The never-tedious halftime show, yeah. And
that is a distinction we should probably draw. Like
kids
Michael,
today, you know.
Michael Jackson changed that.
I think he did, yeah. I think he was the first one of like, we hired one person, and they are going to do a 15-minute concert now.
Yeah.
And it's grown and grown to now it's like, oh, we hired Coldplay. Like this year, I believe it was Coldplay,
and
then Beyonce came in, and then other people came in. Mm-hmm. But there was also the I remember the Black Eyed Peas one, and they're amazing.
And Chili Peppers and Britney Spears.
Everybody was talking about the Prince one when he died. It was amazing that he is singing Purple Rain in a torrential downpour, and he's like wearing these boots that any of us would slip and fall in without rain. And he's just walking by. It's amazing.
He was a magical doe-like creature.
Mm-hmm. But But I think they made those in response to people talking about, like, this is a corny medley of stupid costumes.
I don't remember a lot of Super Bowl halftime shows from this era, but one of my favorite, middle day Simpsons joke is when Miss Pac-Man and Pac-Man get married during halftime.
That's a good one.
That was good.
That's the kind of crap that would happen during halftime.
Yeah, I would like that. But
just this year, I think Michael Jackson would play the Super Bowl halftime show, and ever since then, it's been a high-profile musical guest playing for free.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl considers itself a charity, and this is a way to give MFers. Yourself exposure.
And then, you don't want the kind of exposure Janet Jackson is going to
give you. I'm tugging my collar.
Let me present to you my line of the show.
That's the joke.
And this is from a thing I really miss, the Duff Bowl.
It's a touchdown for halfback Dan Beardorf. Duff Dry has won the Duff Bowl.
They wanted it more.
Hey, Homer, didn't you say if Duff Dry wins, your daughter loves you?
Not Duff Dry, Washington.
Okay, they're both great teams.
I like to believe Mo thinks this is real, just like he thinks Tipsy McSwagger is real.
Tipsy McStagger.
Yeah,
all of the Bud. That has always been my favorite part of those Super Bowls. The Bud Bowl was awesome.
Me too.
They were little cartoons that I think that's why they don't exist anymore. They were cartoons advertising alcohol. Like they
were. I was just
going to
say
kids.
That like the fact that I enjoyed it as a kid is why it's no longer around.
But really well done stop motion animation. To be completely honest, kids in school would wear shirts of the Bud Bowl, not the Super Bowl. Bud Bowl.
The Bud Bowl was so funny. It wasn't Dry that got in. It was usually Bud versus Bud Light. And I always was rooting for Bud, man. I wanted to get them. And I remember as a kid, we went to the Anheuser-Busch Brewing, one of their distilleries. And in the gift shop, you could buy a Bud Bowl helmet for your beer bottle. So then I got a beer bottle and put it on there. And it was like on my dresser for years.
It's for kids.
Yeah, exactly. It's screwed up. So yeah, the game is won. Oh yeah! So,
wait, we have two rare moments. I did want to cover. We have a rare line of dialogue from Sam the Barfly.
That's
what
right.
A gambler!
What a gambler!
And we have a rare appearance, and probably the last appearance of Cesar and Ugalon.
Yeah, that was great. And as a kid, I didn't get that the joke was French people like Jerry Lewis.
The second Jerry Lewis joke in the season.
Yes,
20 million Frenchmen can't be wrong.
and also there is a Frink appearance in this episode, so you could say the second Jerry Lewis.
Points.
In
I'm surprised the machine didn't fall on him, and I was mad that it didn't because I remember I was like, when is it going to fall on him? But he just kicks it and kicks it, and then the channel
changes.
Yeah,
that's more of a season 4 escalation of that same joke of the frustration with it, but. Like all classic Simpsons of this time, it ends with like 20 seconds of touching.
If Washington scores here, happy fans will be looting and turning over cars at our nation's capital tonight. Here's a handoff.
Please.
Touchdown! Stick this one, it is done. The Washington Redskins win Super Bowl 26.
I guess you love Dad.
I suspected as much.
Yes, she loves me. She loves me.
What are you so happy about, Homer? You didn't win any money.
Money comes and money goes, but what I have with my daughter can go on for 8 more years.
That's my line of the show.
So that's
Homer knows by
show?
Age 16, Lisa will hate him.
I think that was them just pinching the joke a little of like, it needs, let's just have him say like, I'll have my daughter for life. Like, that's too lame. He should know when she turns 16, they won't agree with each other and they won't love each other as much anymore. But I do wonder like, how do you think Homer did anything after that second Sunday? Like, after the hike to the mountain, do you think the next Sunday they did stuff together?
I really don't think so.
He sent her to go live with Patty and Selma. I know this for a fact.
Yeah, that's right. So clearly he skipped the Daddy Daughter Day there. But, I mean, it's a sitcom. They got to erase stuff. So
hit reset.
The real outcome there was not, in reality, was less exciting than the made-up Simpsons Super Bowl. The final play, or what sealed the deal, was the Bills were attempting an onside kick to try to buy them an extra play. Mm-hmm. An onside kick is another way of punting, and if you can grab the ball before the other team does, then you can get another play.
You kick the ball in the air and try. What?
No, you can't. It's an onside kick. You kick it slightly to the side, so it's not a punt, which puts them farther back. But you could maybe get it. It's a last ditch attempt, but it didn't work. The Washington team got the ball and then just ran out the clock.
The Redskins is God intended to be named.
And then they won it 34-27. That was the final score of that Super Bowl. But you can see they had to record new stuff with Dan and Yardley every time. They say the teams about 8 times in the episodes. Yeah. And they did it each year. Like, it makes me sad. It stopped being a tradition.
I feel like I didn't know that. I would have tried to look for the audio, but like, where would it exist?
No, I look for it too. You'd only like, I'd need to pull up my.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd even have it on VHS because I wouldn't have taped more
exactly.
Episodes
and
on
I
it.
Don't think it's on the DVD because I poured over these.
They're probably lost
sets.
The time. Or, yeah. You know, some collectors.
It's just my memory. Nobody, if you've got it, put it on YouTube. I couldn't find it on YouTube either. But like, I think this was a really sweet episode that I. Was a little bit lost on me, just as not a big football fan, and I even felt the football stuff was a little. I'm also not a gambling fan either. I like gambling more than football, but I did love the sweet stuff with Homer and Lisa. They're always a great pairing. Every one of those.
I love Homer and Lisa episodes, and even though this is about two subjects I don't care about, I think their story is what's important. And really, the show. I mean, as for as many football jokes as they make, we never really see football. Yes. It's all about how. Crappy sports entertainment was at this time, which
you
I do remember.
Like Vince McMahon, what are you sports entertainment?
Sorry. Sports entertainment.
football's not real.
No, it's lame that Vince McMahon calls wrestling sports entertainment. So
and,
stupid.
I mean, we're all terrible nerds doing a Simpsons podcast, but I swear to God, no one is nerdier than sports fans.
Yeah, it's weird.
They are the biggest nerds on the planet, so I don't feel so bad.
I mean, was there anything else we forgot in this episode? I forgot to mention, I did love when they came back and that Bart is just being shook in the car, and they're like, you gotta come out sometime.
That was like a 1 minute long B story that just filled up the exact right amount of time.
They realize, like, we need a little more time here. Can Marge just take him to the clothes store?
It was a very nice little, you know, a bit of extra content, I guess. So yeah, that was Talking Simpsons, everybody. Thanks for listening.
I
have been your host, Bob Mack. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for usgamer.net and somethingawful.com, and you should listen to my other podcast, Retronauts. Ooh. It's a classic gaming podcast, comes out every week. You can find that at retronauts.com or usgamer.net, or follow us on Twitter at retronauts. Everybody else, who are you?
Speaking of extra content, baby, if you want to hear season one of the Talking Simpsons, patreon.com/lasertime. Lasertime is the website we all work on. It's literally got this show started. Thank you very much for that.
And thank you.
We left the first season exclusive to the people who made it happen in the first place over at patreon.com/lasertime.
And if you're a new user on Patreon, I made a new post that just has links to all the 13 episodes to make it easy to find. It's in the most like 10 recent things, so just scroll through the post, you'll see Black Smithers, and that's your sign. Like, that's
Black Smithers will be there to welcome you and our content.
And I definitely talked up 30 20 10 a lot, but that is a great podcast if you like looking backwards at things, because we talk about all the major events in pop culture every week, or in every week of 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago. I would definitely, after listening to this, listen to the episode that is about the 1986 Super Bowl, especially because we talk about the post-show thing and that
the Challenger exploding.
I'm all about the shuffle.
We also talk about the Challenger exploding and the Super Bowl shuffle, and that's just in the first segment about 86. I mean, come on.
It somehow ends up with GCA hot coffee, so something for everybody in there.
Awesome. So much fun.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week when Marge loses her damn mind. Later.
Infotainment.
It's Can-Can. Over 50 years of endless deals.
Now, Shop Right does the Can-Can, selling lots on brands on everything in Can-Can. Today is great to save some cash, so come to Shop Right's Can-Can Bash. Can-Can, you save much more on every brand. Can-Can.
Find endless deals at Shop Right's Can-Can sale. Going on now. You can't miss it.